Hello, my friends. We meet again. My name is Ben, better known to most of you as Boston Nuga on the Twitter machine. I've done 70 episodes of this podcast previously. You can find it in the archives of the Place to Be Nation website. But after a couple of years of being dormant, I decided to bring back Row 1, Seat 1. So welcome to the show. This show, for the uninitiated, is an interview show where I talk to people in and around the wrestling industry, especially independent wrestling. I'm trying to show you, the listener, what these people are like as human beings. I really want to portray the people you see on independent shows or around, it's kind of three-dimensional human beings. A little bit about me, if you're unfamiliar. I'm originally from Danvers, Massachusetts, God's country, just north of Boston, about 20 miles north of Boston. Grew up there. Been in Chattanooga for about 14 years. Wrestling's always been a thing for me. My first memory as a person is WrestleMania III, watching it with my dad and my brother. I guess I never grew out of it. I never really went to shows as a kid, but starting in my 20s, I started attending wrestling shows and really caught the bug. I actually did my undergrad thesis on professional wrestling and wrote a 257-page paper on it. Got an A. I've kind of done the math, and I think I've been to probably about 600 independent shows over the last decade. So I've been very blessed in that regard and just created an amazing group. I worked for a journalist. I worked as a journalist, I'm sorry, for about 15 years. Had a column on NBA.com, covered the Tennessee Vols football team, every high school sport you can imagine. So I'd like to think, given my training and what I've done and the people I know, that I can, conduct an interview, but obviously you guys can be the judge. Been in Chattanooga 14 years. About 10 years ago, I discovered the local independent scene and really fell in love, starting with that first Scenic City Invitational. And, like I said, probably about 600 shows since then. Started going all over the country, making friends, putting in the miles, really making memories. And I've been to 8 WrestleManias, well, 7, but that's a long story we'll tell later. I once dressed as La Parca for a wedding that I found out was not costume appropriate. I allegedly set up rings, but I don't really, I definitely don't look like Bubba Dudley. And I am the world's leading advocate for the return of Monty Brown and Alex Wright and Sid. Bless all those three, Holy Trinity. As I've probably told hundreds of people on dating sites, wrestling's my tribe, it's my community, and they're my people. I found a home here in independent wrestling. At that first SCI, I met 20 people who were now 20 of my closest friends in the world, and I met hundreds more on my travels. Most importantly for me, wrestling's become a bonding thing with my 10-year-old daughter, Ava. She's the light of my life, the best thing in the world. And she's been actually going to our local independent show, TWE, at least once a month since she was 3 years old, and she's now 10, so over 7 years. She's made friends there. She has a run of the place. It's kind of our thing. That we do together. We bond over it. And she also, I'm the designated handler for the infamous Papa Hales. And Papa's become, through wrestling, her surrogate grandfather and my surrogate dad. I'm sure you'll hear from him actually on this show. He's a gem. We'll talk to him a lot longer as well at some point in the future. What should you guys expect from the show? Basically lived at independent wrestling shows over the last 10 years. So luckily, and I'm very blessed in this regard, my Rolodex is pretty deep. I'm blessed to meet the people I have, and if I can let them share them their stories, and you guys can get to know them as people, I'll feel like I've done my job. I know weekend warriors and full-timers, people who are on TV and people who don't leave their local area code, people as young as my daughter and as old as Papa Hales, and everyone in between. So you're going to meet, people who save lives. You're going to meet people who have, creative artistic talents outside the ring. You're going to meet people who are doing wrestling as their full-time job. You're going to meet people who, work 50, 60 hours a week and then, wrestle when they can. It's a wonderful cross-section of society. And I think that you really enjoy hearing the stories and hearing about these wrestlers as people. Let's talk about this week's show. It's not going to follow the format that I'm going to do for most of the rest of the shows. This show is just a kind of, I went to an ICW No Holds Barred show in Chattanooga. Actually two shows over a weekend in Chattanooga a couple weeks ago. And instead of doing long interviews, my goal was to get in the head of deathmatch wrestlers. I think that's a really interesting subsection of the wrestling world for me. Because look, they're not doing the same things that you see every wrestler do. You know, WWE has very little in common except the fact that it's wrestling with, you know, deathmatch wrestling, as far as, you know, the type of entertainment it provides. But it's very fun and it's a spectacle and it's, I love all types of wrestling, deathmatch to, you know, grappling to, you know, high flying lucha to Japanese. I mean, it's, I think wrestling can really be a cornucopia, and part of that cornucopia is deathmatch wrestling. I was lucky a couple weekends ago to get full access to all the wrestlers, talk to them for a few minutes. And like I said, I really want to get in their heads and see, why do you do this? Is it a pain thing? Why deathmatch over other forms of wrestling? How does their brains work, basically? That really intrigued me, because they're not wired like you and I. They smash light tubes and gusset plates and firework bats and doors, and I even saw a car bumper get used. And they're now sitting in my living room as a ukulele covered in tacks that I definitely stole from the deathmatch show. I think it's pretty cool and different to the deathmatch mindset, and it's out in left field a little bit, but I really think it's interesting if you delve into it. So hope you guys like the show here. We got, I think, about 10 interviews here that we're going to be doing just in a little 3 to 5 minute, 8 minute clips. So you get your cross section of who the wrestlers are there and how their brains work. I rambled enough. Let's get on with the show. Holy shit, I'm here with Matt Tremont.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. God, where do I start? You are the most decorated Mount Rushmore American Deathmatch wrestler ever, and I don't think that's terribly disputable. You've been doing how many years now?
17.
17 years. What gets you up every morning to do this?
I guess it's changed over time, okay, and over the years. I mean,
how's it different now as opposed to when you started?
When I started, it was more, not to say I'm not having fun now,
okay,
but like, I didn't have any regulations of life, and
sure,
you know, I was just a young kid.
Love of the game, right?
Yeah, yes. You know, I didn't have bills and responsibilities.
Yet. Roping, okay, in 2 minutes, Matt.
Okay.
So now you're a grown up.
Yes.
You have kids. You're training.
Mm-hmm.
You got a wife. You got all. You know, you're mentoring people.
Mm.
How is it different now?
I guess the responsibility, mm-hmm, and like, I got bills to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know,
you got a building?
Building, yeah. That's the big bill over my head every month.
The Mecca, yes.
Yeah.
H2O, training center in Williamstown, New Jersey, right?
Yes.
You should go there. Everyone listening to this should go there and see one of Matt's shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, as far as getting in the ring, it's another day. The office, mm-hmm, as cliche it is to say, but like, I look at it as a job. Mm-hmm. You know, I get up, I come to the show, I go home.
Now, you train scores of wrestlers, mm-hmm, in traditional wrestling and deathmatch wrestling. Mm-hmm. How's your approach different?
Any of the kids that came to H2O, especially like Anthrax, mm-hmm, and Stretch, they came there to do hardcore. Mm-hmm. Even all Austin and Marcus, they dabbled in it, yep, as well, but they knew right from the get-go, we got to come here to learn how to become a good worker, sure, wrestler first.
Fundamentals.
Then if you want to dabble in the violence, you know, we'll get there when the time is needed.
Very cool, very cool. Do you still have the same excitement walking into the ring that you did 17 years ago?
Yes. Okay. It's a calming, because I'm, you know, pretty calm.
This is your peace?
Yes.
You're out there, this is your zen time?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't got to worry about nothing, you know, I don't got to worry about life and bills and all that stuff. When I'm in there, I get to have fun for the 10
minutes. This is your escape?
Yes,
100%. Love that. 100%. Very, very cool. You have the American Deathmatch Championship.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
A lot. It was the one title I didn't hold until now, and have done business with Danny for a long time, and you know, so he wanted to, you know, put the title on me. I'm very old school, so I look at that, a promoter putting the title on you, putting a lot of trust into you, you know, 100%. You're waving the proverbial flag of that promotion, so I wave it proudly.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
no problem.
You. Holy shit, I'm here with Tank. Tank is the godfather of this shit in all of the ways, and
Year what?
28.
Jesus Christ. What gets you up every morning to do this? What's your motivation? What makes you wake up on a Friday morning and say, I'm going to fucking cut my head open?
Stupidity. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of loving this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Love to entertain. And actually, I don't mind the pain and the bleeding. You know, I'm a fucking weirdo.
Are you a pain junkie or like?
I'm a pain junkie when I'm out there, but but the next morning when I'm whining to my wife about hurting and she's telling me to shut the fuck up, and calling me a dumbass for doing it. But I wouldn't say I'm a pain junkie, but the pain really don't bother me.
What goes through your? Because you've done thousands of these at this point. Does it still feel like the first time, or what goes through your brain now as opposed to when you did it 25, 28 years ago?
Well, now it's just like, I still get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get nervous before a match, mm-hmm. and you don't love the fucking business.
Sure.
But now it's just like a fucking second nature to me. You know, I can just, I see boys back here getting all fired up, warmed up. I throw my shit on, put wrist tape on, just walk my ass out the door and go do it. I don't get fired up. I know I got a job to do and go out there and do it the best of my ability.
Does it feel like a job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, it's the funnest job anybody could ever do.
Yep.
Professional wrestling, hardcore wrestling, deathmatch wrestling, it's the funnest job anybody could ever do.
You're in a position now where you're the dean of this, basically. You're the godfather. Yeah. I mean, they call you the godfather on the mic. Do you feel fulfilled imparting wisdom to the younger kids? Do you help people kind of avoid the pitfalls? Like,
how
do you feel as a guide?
When I quit in 2017, I had a big retirement deal because I hated the business and I was bitter about every fucking thing. And I came back in 2021 or 2022, whenever the hell it was, 2021, and I had some wrongs I needed to right. And now I love teaching. Before, I didn't give a shit about the new kids because they didn't want to listen.
Sure.
Kids now want to listen.
Oh, wow.
Kids now want to learn, and I have no problem with that. So anybody wants to learn, I'm here to teach.
Love that. Love that. Fantastic. So you've been in this 28 years.
Yeah.
Where are the goals from here?
To quit again this year. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I keep telling myself.
I know you. You're not getting out.
it'd have been a lot easier if my little girl didn't fall in love with this shit.
Ah. Yeah, she got my kid into it, too. Yeah, thank
you.
Now
she's just like, oh, Dad, you going to wrestle this week? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, well, let's go. And I tell her, well, it's death matches. And she's like, I don't want to go. But if it's a regular TWE show, she's all about it. It's like a family. And she has a good time.
Yeah, she got my kid to go. So,
and I would hate to quit now because then she might resent me later on. So, I'm gonna keep on rolling with the punches, I guess.
Yeah, I say you got older kids and younger kids. Like,
I'm older kids, but they can give two shits about this stuff. But my little one, my 7-year-old, she absolutely loved it.
Very cool. So you're doing it more to like show her like, hey, this is what Daddy's always done. This is, you know, like, kind of leaving a legacy there.
Yeah, the other two, they just came to shows for fucking popcorn and ices and shit.
Very cool, very cool.
But this one actually enjoys it.
How, you worked all of the deathmatch promotions.
Yep.
Compare ICW to others.
The ICW is just a totally different monster because of the chains and the pit.
Mm-hmm.
IW Mid-South was cool. And I never worked Combat Zone. I kind of had a death match with GCW against Janela in Alabama, and ICW's top notch. You know, a lot of internet trolls and shit want to shit on it or whatever, but that's just the internet. Fuck them.
How do you mentally adapt to the chains and the pit as opposed to something in a ring, something in a, you know, an open area, a bar show, something like that? How's your brain work differently?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It's all the same. Punch, kick, and kick the shit out of people.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you very much. We'll get a longer one with you at some point, but
yes,
thank you, man.
Yes, thank you.
I am here with Gary J., Pride of St. Louis,
Pride of St. Louis.
Pride of St. Louis, brother.
Loosely based, sure, yeah.
Buddy, it's you and Busch Stadium. Those are the two.
All right. I wish I made as much money as Busch Stadium makes.
And then some raviolis are thrown in there as
all
well.
All right. So. I don't eat that shit, but all right.
So you were at a deathmatch show.
Yeah, I guess that's what this is called.
Mm-hmm,
correct?
Sure. So tough battle of the tough guys, pit fighter.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck some people up is my general point.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do.
So you're a tremendous regular wrestler. And you are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is very different.
Correct.
Tell me about your mindset.
You know, you're going to think I'm a little kooky for saying this, but my mindset is no different.
Okay.
Like, I go into everything like a fight, regardless if there's a ring or a cage or no ring or, you know, just a floor. Like, it's all a fight to me, so there's no different mindset. The cool thing about this is like the layout and the platform is different because there is no ring. So
sure.
That kind of makes the mindset as of like, okay, I go in with the same mindset for everything. But like with this, I kind of work with more things, more tools per se.
I was say, how does that open you up? Like, because you got weapons here, you got.
Kind of just depends.
Creativity, right?
Yeah, creativity, which I mean is one of the best things about professional wrestling overall is just creativity. Yeah. It's like, if it's not creative and not fun, then, you know, I'm not going to enjoy it. Therefore, the consumer or the paying customer, they don't give a fuck. So, yeah, the creativity part is awesome because you're pretty much, it's like letting the dogs out of the yard and they just run loose, you know, if that makes any sense.
So do you have input into like, hey, I need weapons X, Y, and Z, and they just kind of...
Yeah, they ask like, hey, what might happen or what might you need in this fight? And I'm like, well, give me a chair and a door. I'm good with that. And if that doesn't get the job done, then I'll just kind of figure something else out, you know?
Very cool. Very cool. How are things in St. Louis?
Oh, they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I have no complaints. St. Louis Anarchy is fucking rocking and rolling.
You've been, how many years now? Because I've lost count, frankly.
Started in 2003, so 21, 22 years.
21 years. So
yeah,
where,
that's a little bit.
Where are we going from here?
You know what? I've been asked this question a lot lately, and I don't have an answer. Okay. Like, to me, there's no destination. It's the journey. And I tell a lot of people that ask me, like, oh, why is one per se? Whatever. Any advice? I'm like, enjoy the journey.
Sure, yeah.
Because at the moment, you might not have destination. And the journey is how you get to said destination. So it's a journey.
What gets you, I mean, because, you know, what gets you going on a Friday morning, Saturday morning, whatever, and say, I'm going to get into a fucking fight again. I'm, you know... I'm going to be the most Gary J dude I can be.
You're going to be the most Gary J dude you can be.
You are the most Gary J motherfucker I know.
Gary J. No, like I said, I wake up every day and I'm Gary J. Like, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
You know, I have my good days just like most people do. And then I have bad days. That's life, unfortunately. You know, like mental health goes up and down. But this is very therapeutic in a way of like, well, I'm having a rough one, so you know what? I'm going to take all that. It's Friday. I'm going to hit the road. Let's go do this.
So the road is your therapy?
Per se. That and the therapist I pay every
time. Well, hard same. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So you've been 21 years.
Yeah.
You are a wealth of wisdom. I mean, you've been doing this. You've been kicking ass. Someone wants to walk in on day one. What do you tell them?
It's not always... funny games. Okay. It's okay to have bad days, and it's okay to like question this, but if you don't have like the actual heart for it, you will not last.
Fantastic. We're at about 4 minutes. Awesome, man. All right, I'm here with Anakin Murphy. You're a fucking crazy person, and I love you. Talk to me about, because I've seen you wrestle at TWE a million times, I've seen you wrestle in St. Louis a million times, but those matches are very different than the match you're about to do. How is this different? How is your mindset different? Talk to me about how you're preparing for this.
Well, with death matches, you pretty much got to, like, turn your brain off.
Okay.
Because all of this, like, sucks and it hurts. So, like, I've always been a big fan of death matches. Mm-hmm. And I've always, like, I used to backyard a lot, and I didn't do, like, anything crazy, but it was like, oh, I'll do this dumb bump on the grass or whatever the fuck. And
this is chains in a pit, brother.
yeah, like
this ain't going to grass.
Right. So it was just like I always loved like the hardcore deathmatch style. Mm-hmm. So I guess tonight, to adapt from having like a singles match into a death match is just turning that brain off.
Okay.
And knowing that like this is going to be painful, but it's all going to be worth it, just like any other matches.
So I've talked to a couple of the other guys and they say like the adrenaline takes over.
Yeah.
Same with you, or?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Adrenaline, 100%.
Like, tomorrow morning's going to suck, right?
Tomorrow morning's definitely going to suck.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be in Ohio wrestling again tomorrow, and I'll be, like, all probably scarred up.
It's a choice you made. You made that choice, brother. it's... But you're going to be working, a non-death match tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you switch?
So tomorrow I'm in a tag match.
Mm-hmm. So, sure, even more. Yeah.
So it's an even better switch because I have someone there with me to like be my tag partner and be like, all right, well, let's do this match this way and let's like do this yada yada yada. Like yesterday I had a singles match. Today I have a death match. Tomorrow I have a tag match. Yeah. So it's like all three different styles of wrestling.
You're gonna be wrestling.
Yeah.
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 Very cool. Very cool. So like, how do you hit the shift stick on that sort of shit? Like, because obviously you're gonna think differently about tonight as opposed to tomorrow as opposed to yesterday. How does the shift stick work for you?
I don't know. I just kind of hear Helena and I just kind of.
I hear
go.
Helena. It makes me so happy. It makes me so fucking happy.
I think like the gear shift doesn't really happen until like I go out.
Okay.
And then it's like, all right, I'm here, kind of thing.
Now, are you a guy who puts? Kind of goes on feel, or you a guy who just like, I'm gonna do these 15 things in a match and I'm gonna get all my shit in?
It's a little bit of both.
Sure. Okay.
It's a little bit of both. Like sometimes I like to do like a lot of stuff and like plan a bunch of stuff, and sometimes I'm like, oh well, like the best moments are from whenever like it is on the fly and we are just feeling it out.
Yeah.
Like whenever me and Tank had the no ring match, it was like mostly just feeling it out, and it was great. Yeah. It was so fun.
Newsflash, you're not the biggest dude in the world.
No.
So it probably hurts a little bit more. Or you don't have a lot of padding.
Yeah.
You're not 6'5", 240 pounds.
Right.
Vince isn't gonna be calling you anytime soon as far as that.
Right.
But I mean you're what? 5'11". 5'11", okay. And
like 140.
140, okay. I didn't want to estimate.
No, yeah, I get it.
So I just did an interview with Tank. Tank is not 5'11", 140.
Right.
And you were talking about wrestling with Tank. Does that go into your mindset, hey, I'm not a big dude, like, I need to either A, protect myself, or I'm going to be a crazy person.
It kind of just puts a big chip on my shoulder as
cool.
to, like,
love that.
I'm probably the smallest dude in here, so I'm going to look the best kind of thing. Like, I'm going to, like, go out there and make sure I'm remembered and not looked at as just, like, some scrawny fucking kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's just, I kind of have just like a big chip on my shoulder with it. It's a good chip, though. I'm not like, oh, well, I'm better than everybody. Yeah. I'm certainly not. But.
You know you're not big. You got something to prove.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. I'm here with the Ginger Ninja.
That's the original, baby.
Jameson Shook. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
How you doing? You look a little nervous.
I'm actually on 30 minutes of sleep right now. It's kind of awesome.
Well, you're a child, so yeah.
I am a child. 21 years old.
21 years old. 21 years young.
No,
okay, let's go into that. You're a young person.
Yes.
You are new in the business. What are you? You're in a little over a year?
Year and a half.
Year and a half in.
137 matches.
130. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
137 matches. Working that Seth Rollins schedule.
Hey, Scott Hensley.
Scott Hensley just walked by the way. we're doing a recording, but Scott Hensley's here, the famous SCI promoter. So you have done all sorts of wrestling over your 137 matches.
God, a lot.
A lot. You're learning all styles, and today you're doing a death match, and you haven't done, I think you've done, what, one or two?
Four or five.
Okay, yeah. sure. Fair.
Yeah.
What's different?
Oh, this one's different because it's like, I mean, it's ICW. And it's the biggest deathmatch show going right now, like as we speak. And I'm going against someone that's like a brother, like Tommy Vendetta. Like,
okay.
To me, it's kind of awesome. So I'm fired up for this.
Tell me about your relationship with Tommy.
Tommy, so like, we didn't really like know each other from the first ICW shows, but like then we like did Flophouse and stuff together, and I was like, oh shit, I like this guy.
Schwartzy.
Hell yeah, dude. Schwartzy rules too. I love him. So then like me and Tommy, ever since like they've started coming back to chat, we've just been like the best of friends, and it's been awesome.
So now you have to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, we gotta beat the shit out of each other, like best friends are supposed to do.
So I'm standing here with Jameson. He actively looks nervous.
I
you are. Put me through your brain right now.
My brain's thinking that I'm about to do a lot of stupid things that may or may not include me jumping off a cage.
Tremendous.
Very high cage, and
you're
just
an insane
having
person.
One door. Oh, I mean, that's just noted. there's a lot of things I'm nervous about, but I mean, I don't know. Once I get in there and the bell rings, I'm gonna be fired up, and I'm just gonna be like, let's fucking go. Like, you know, I'm excited.
So I've been talking to some of these guys, and like, when you talk about that a minute here, like, when you walk into the cage, does your brain shut off?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It does. Like, when we first got here and I was here setting up the cage, just building it, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I mean, it's definitely something that'll fire you up,
mm-hmm.
and, like, at the same time be like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing, but mm-hmm. I'm here and we just, let's fucking fight. Let's just do our thing.
Now, Tommy's done this for a hot minute.
Oh, yeah.
You're a baby. Are you deferring to him? Do you pencil stuff in? Is there stuff you want to get? Or are you just like, hey, you're the boss, make it happen?
We have definitely penciled stuff in. This has really been 50-50
okay,
for the most part. There's some stuff that I wanted to do that he was all for. There's stuff we kind of ping-ponged off each other to do. And, really, it's 50-50.
And
we both understood each other really well. I think that's, like, the dynamic of us being, like, really good friends. So that's the dynamic of us having that. We kind of had the same ideas. Because, like, literally the open that he pitched was the open that I pitched. And we haven't even talked to each other about this match yet, so.
Is it easier to work with people you have a good relationship with, like, outside of the ring?
Yeah.
What?
At the same time, there's people I don't like that I've wrestled, and we've had good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, I'm a decently nice person, and I mm-hmm. can kind of work with
you're an
most
asshole.
People. Oh, yeah, that's fine, too.
No, I love you.
Yeah, I'm a dick. I get it.
No. So it works both ways.
Yes, it definitely works both ways. Just be a nice person when you're wrestling. So
be a nice person when you're wrestling. Be a nice person when you're wrestling.
Yeah, just don't be an idiot. That's kind of easy. I mean, yeah.
You're a fucking idiot though.
Yeah, I am. Well, like not in the bad way, but in like the hey, I want to do this way.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow morning, are we thinking about that yet?
No.
No.
I won't think about tomorrow morning.
You're 21. You don't think about that shit at all.
I don't think about tomorrow mornings yet. I'll think about tomorrow morning when tomorrow morning hits.
Sure.
Or tomorrow afternoon. So yeah, but I'm fired up. I'm ready to do this.
Love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Man.
And this is one last thing. This is conceivably your biggest forum. Is this your biggest match?
Is this my biggest match?
Don't mean to put that in your head, but like.
You know, thinking about it, that's something I haven't really thought about. But like, on a show like this. Maybe, because like I mean, I've wrestled Warhorse, I've wrestled Banders, I've wrestled some pretty big names, but like on the biggest stage, and Tommy being one of their biggest stars, like maybe it might be actually.
Cool.
Nah, like now that's running through my head. Maybe.
I didn't mean to do that to you, but
no,
you're
it's
like,
fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. I need this. So like, I mean,
do you think differently because of the scale,
like of the show?
Yeah. Like you're gonna pull more shit out.
Oh yeah.
Or okay, cool. All right.
You got to go all out on shows like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my head, at least. So,
sure.
You know. Just go all out for a show like this. Which I go all out on every show. You know that.
I'm aware.
I've
probably seen 75% of your matches.
Even shows that aren't recorded, I'm just like, hey, man, let's do a flip bump to the floor off the apron. I'm insane. But, you know, in the good way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Not the dumb way.
Oh, yeah. All right, man. Love you.
Love you, man.
I am here with Coach Cody Manhorn.
Yo.
Cody has a big match tonight. Talk about it a little bit.
I'm wrestling a dream match. I'm wrestling the most decorated deathmatch wrestler of all fucking time. What am I shooting? Like,
the greatest American deathmatch wrestler ever, basically, right? Matt Tremont.
Him and Danny Havoc, one and two.
Yeah, that's a list right there.
Yeah.
Maybe Tank, because we're a little high.
Yeah, you know, privilege to that one.
It's a Mount Rushmore. But, talk about your brain right now and going into a death match. You don't do death matches terribly often. I've seen you a lot at TWE, and you're a tremendous mat wrestler. And tonight you're going to get shit broken over your head. So how does your brain work?
I mean, for me, a lot of this, do what I know from the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I served 7 years for that, so it's there was literally kill or be killed. So if he wants a fight, I'll give him a fight.
So you're literally channeling how you were as a Marine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's survival. That's, I feel like that's always the idea to going into deathmatch is... I understand Matt Tremont's going to be one of the hardest fights I've ever had in my life, but I promise I'm going to be one of the hardest ones he's ever had to kill.
Tremont is also a mentor to you.
Yes.
This means a lot personally, doesn't it?
Yeah, like when I go up to New Jersey, a lot of time I'm staying with him, so... I actually, when the match got announced, bursted into his fucking room and I said, did you fucking know about this? Goddamn. Yeah, no, he means the world to me. When I first got introduced, because before I was really anti-deathmatch. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm a mat wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite of me. And when I got introduced to it, I was watching him and Havoc. And it's fell in love with it and to be able to... Because I've wrestled Matt before, mm-hmm. In kind of a no DQ match, nothing to this extent. So when this got announced, it's like, even right now, I'm like, it's fucking happening.
Yeah, you're actively nervous right now.
This is a real
thing. It's like you're a kid before Christmas right now, man. You're like,
that's what it was last night when he started talking to me in the pit. It was, I just started giggling and I was like, this is just real. This is real emotion right now. Yeah, like you said, kids before Christmas.
What has Tremont taught you about deathmatch wrestling specifically? Approaching it, thinking about it, mapping it out.
A lot of the time is, you know, from a wrestling aspect, it's the same thing you do any mm-hmm. other week. Really good wrestlers make really good deathmatch wrestlers. The only real difference is a deathmatch wrestler probably has some mental issues. as far as like...
Is it a pain thing too?
I think so.
Okay.
At some point, we just...
Are you a pain junkie?
Hey, me and Matt talk about it all the time. Sometimes you just gotta bleed. Just get it out of you.
So it's cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Fantastic. So, how do you think your brain is going to be when you walk out tonight and see Matt Tremont staring at you from across the ring? Like, have you put yourself there mentally yet?
So that's a big thing for me, like, when it goes into going into a match. I've also wrestled since I was 7 years old, mm-hmm. so I've been doing competitive athletics, mm-hmm. and a lot of the time it's me, like, what would I do before one of those matches? Mm-hmm. Can I get my headspace in there? I try to envision, what's the ultimate goal? I think about myself, what happens if I am holding up that fucking mm-hmm. title? And let me get that emotion in me now, tuck it deep down to the bottom of my pit.
Mm-hmm.
When I look across the ring from Matt Tremont... I have something surprising for him, specific that's coming tonight, but it's going to be a lot of that kid in the candy shop.
He's bigger than you.
Yeah.
He's more experienced than you. He's done this for a few more years than you have.
A couple.
How do you win?
How do I win?
Mm-hmm.
I don't die. That's it.
You don't die.
Like I said, Tremont will be the hardest fight I've ever had in my mm-hmm. life, but I will be the hardest person he's ever had to beat. That's always been my advantage as Cody Manhorn. You can hit me as much as you fucking want. I don't stay down.
Tell me about... Because I know the person behind Cody Manhorn. I know another side of you.
Yeah?
Who's Cody?
I actually had this conversation with someone earlier today. Mm-hmm. When it comes to like the whole Shiny Shoes, Cody Manhorn split, mm-hmm. Shiny Shoes is... who Aaron Noyes, the fucking person, is. Mm-hmm. That's who he is on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's nice, shake hands, mm-hmm. hug people, always the friendly face. Cody Manhorn is everything that I have to hide away a lot of the time. It's the fighting spirit of, you know what, a lot of the time as Shoes, it's yes sir, no sir, I'll do what you need to. Mm-hmm. Cody Manhorn, though, is the, you can say whatever you want about me, I'm going to fight and I'm going to prove you wrong.
Cody's your aide, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I'm really proud of you. I'm genuinely proud of you for this moment. We're shooting here. we've been friends for a long time. And I've seen you come up. I've seen you go through good times and bad times. And this seems like a culmination for you.
Yeah, no, it's cliche as fuck now to say, especially given my namesake. But this is definitely... There's been a lot of big moments for me lately, mm-hmm. but this is one that really feels like mm-hmm. the Cody Rhodes finisher story.
I've been with you climbing that mountain.
Yeah.
This seems like you're reaching the top.
Hopefully not, man. Mm-hmm. I want to go higher.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Like, I get it.
This seems like you're reaching a summit right now. This is a culmination of things.
I was talking to somebody about it last night. It was like, the first time I ever wrestled for the TWE title, the first time I ever wrestled for a singles championship.
I was there.
Yeah, it was against Merck. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it afterwards, and there was never a real belief in that match of a couple moments. Mm-hmm. But going into it, there was never a belief of Cody's going to be the new TWE champ. Going into this match, just hearing murmurs, there's people talking like, you're going to win the belt, you're going to win. It's like, for me as an entertainer and a performer, mm-hmm. like, I've done my job right. Mm-hmm. I have made enough people believe that when I come through that curtain...
Create a seed of doubt.
Yep.
Because,
again, Matt Tremont has every right to be the favorite in this, and that's okay, because Cody Manhorn's always been the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
I, personally, fucking life, have just always been an underdog. And that makes it a really real moment of, you know, I'm going in there, like I said, just to put up a fight.
Love it. Fantastic, man. I'm proud of you. You're awesome. I'll hope to watch you win tonight, man.
Hell yeah.
Doing this in the parking lot. I'm here with Aaron Wade. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Ben Zane.
you worked a big ass death match last night against your trainer, Jaden Newman.
Oh yeah, it was really, really hard hitting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was there. Yeah, it was great.
We beat the piss out of each other.
What does that mean to you?
So
Malcolm.
What's that? Oh my God.
I'm hugging Malcolm right now. We'll get to you in a minute here, but yeah. So what does it mean to you to work Jaden specifically? He trained you.
It's really cool. I think me and Jaden have like an unspoken chemistry when we're in the ring together, because I've seen him wrestle for going on 6 years now, probably even longer than that, because I've trained for about a year. So I kind of know what he does and what he does really well, especially since he's evolved and done more with, like, his character, especially this gimmick change.
Mm-hmm.
I know what he does, and he knows what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, you got a hell of a rivalry going.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you got a blood feud, and literally last night was a blood feud.
Oh, it was great.
Mm-hmm. You have a legitimate background in Taekwondo. You are a 7th degree?
I'm a 5th degree.
5th degree, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, just, hey. Work it, okay? You're 7th degree, shut up. You're a 5th degree black belt in Taekwondo. You've been doing this since you were a kid.
Yes.
How does that translate into A, wrestling, B, deathmatch wrestling?
So I think for me, originally I didn't want to do the gimmick. I didn't want to be a martial artist. I wanted to be, I guess, like AJ Styles. I wanted to be a high flyer, like AJ Styles or something.
Yeah.
And so Jaden and Dylan and some other peers like, well, just do that, like it's already there. So I started doing the martial arts thing, and I was just nervous. I was going to, like, because we train to, you know, protect ourselves and protect others, and doing that I was afraid I want to, like, oh, I may injure somebody or kick someone too hard to the point where, like, it may have struck a nerve or something. So learning how to do it and do it really safely is a key. But as far as like death matches go, I never thought I would ever do death match. Like, before I did ICW the first time 2 years ago, which I got booked without my knowledge.
Oh really?
Yeah, that was something.
That was a surprise.
Yes. And so I was like, I don't want to do death matches. I like watching death matches. I just, like, I don't know if it's my thing. And then I did it, and now it's just like, this is kind of fun. It's weird.
What about
it's
fun? How? Because I've seen you work a million, you know, straight matches or however you want to call them.
Yeah.
And I've seen you work a couple death matches. Is this more fun, less fun? How is it different?
I think it's more fun because it makes you be more creative with what you can do.
Okay.
Especially like if you're in a pit or if you're in the chains or like just doing a regular death matches. Like me and Jameson have had several death matches. It's weird that I've had more death matches with him than anybody else. But and I think it makes you be more creative, especially with, like, weapons, spots, stuff like that. It's really fun and creative.
Awesome. Do you have a taste for blood now?
I think so. I think it's like I've been bitten by the deathmatch bug.
Okay.
And it's not going away.
No, I love that. So is it a pain thing? Is it a... I'm seeing myself bleed thing, is it like, because, you know, you bled all right last night, and, like, I mean, you were bleeding from your head.
Yeah.
And what when you see your own blood and when you, you know, feel yourself bleeding, what goes through your head?
I think it's like I see it and it just gets me fired up.
Okay, yeah, it gets you going there. Yeah,
yeah, so very I'm just cool. Like, I'm in a fired mood. I'm just kind of like, almost like Danielson's firing up for his comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. And then, plus I know there's going to be some awesome shots after the fact. Regardless if I come to the back, take pictures.
And photograph well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really good shots. And it just looks really cool. And it gets me fired up.
It looks cool.
It looks very cool.
It does look very cool. That's fair. That's 100% correct. So, one other thing I want to touch on. You're in SCI this year.
Yes.
I watched your career from literally day one. A, I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
B, would you say that's reaching the point there? The SCI is going to be your career highlight? I mean, what do you have planned? What are you thinking?
Up to this point, SCI has been my goal from the start. My first SCI was SCI 2019.
A good year.
Yeah, it was very good. That was
a fine vintage.
Yes, it was. That was the year Maccabi won, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to go to 2018, but I was in high school and, like, I think some stuff happened where I just couldn't make it. So, 2019 was my first tournament. And I looked at one of my friends at the time that I'm going to be in this tournament one day. And then, lo and behold, I won the Rumble without my knowledge and got into the tournament, which is super cool. Really, really incredible moment.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know you were winning the SCI Rumble?
No idea. I didn't find out until Rob's feet hit the floor. I was like, well, there goes the SCI plans. I guess I have to be in it now.
They didn't suit you off at all. You just happened.
Yeah, because like Dylan, Matt, and Scott all have a tendency to not tell me things when there's like a big moment. Like they didn't tell me when I was in Futures.
Don't tell me a thing either.
They just. I mean, I actually prefer it if they don't tell me because it makes the moment even bigger.
Cool.
But it's from here. I think I want to start aiming to go international. That's going to be my next big goal.
Knowing you, that's terrifying. Wait in another country.
Oh, I'm really.
Oh, it's so good. All right. Well, I'm proud of you. You did a great job last night.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll talk before SCI. All right.
Yes.
Here with Nathan Mowry. He's a sick motherfucker.
Thank you.
You are, you've chosen this life.
Indeed. This is something I intentionally chose to do to myself, how to spend weekends.
You're a crazy talented, CJ Lawler's here and he's a doofus.
CJ's just groping me right now. It's all good.
You know, it's fine. Whatever, man.
Pre-show ritual.
It's 2024. We're fine.
Yeah.
So you're a crazy talented visual artist and you choose to get shit smashed over your head on purpose.
Indeed.
How's your brain work? Talk to me.
How's my brain work?
How's your brain work?
I know. Well, first of all, I just think this, you know, is cheaper than therapy, so it's just an affordable way of getting out all the extra aggression you have in life. But I don't know. I've always, like, really loved deathmatch wrestling. I grew up, like, just always in love with things like Jackass and CKY. Mm-hmm. I always say that Steve-O and John Zandig were terrible influences on a young teenage Nathan Mowry. And so I would just, like, film all these CKY, like, Jackass stunts.
Love it.
So I have a similar background as J.J. Escobar, if you're familiar with him. Mm-hmm. Like, we were both, like...
I saw him get his balls lit on fire. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it happens often for him. It's crazy.
My friend was the one in the wheelchair who was trying to scoot away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. That was Steve. That's my son.
Hell yeah. Nice. Always a good time. But, yeah, so that's basically how I kind of got started, just doing stunts. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a wrestling fan. And when I discovered deathmatch wrestling, you know, when you're 14 years old and see Onita and exploding barbed wire deathmatches, your brain can't process how dope that is. So, so that's why I kind of became a wrestler. My first match ever was against J.J. Escobar because we were both like, hey, we're former stunt dudes.
Yeah.
Let's put together a crazy death match, and I don't think you're supposed to throw a weed whacker at someone's dick in your very first match, but I did. Most people like to perfect their headlock takeovers. Me, I like to chuck weed whackers at dicks, you know? It's to each their own style.
To each their own style, man. No, it takes all types.
Indeed.
How does your brain work when you're walking into a death match? Like, how do you get yourself tuned up?
Man, it's like, I don't know, sometimes I just kind of, like, listen to, like, music to get me amped up, or I just kind of, like, get kind of quiet a little bit. Like, it's the nerves will start settling in right before you go out,
yep.
And then as soon as you walk through the curtain, all those nerves just turns into a complete adrenaline rush. Sure. And so that's what I kind of live for. It's the anticipation that's almost worse than the death match. It feels like the day I wake up and I know that I'm about to have a brutal match, it feels like I'm on that, you know, incline of a roller coaster and I'm just hanging out there for hours. And then as soon as I go through the curtain, that's when the roller coaster starts, and it's worth the
Are you an adrenaline junkie, like, in real life?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, cool. That's kind of like my stunt background. Mm-hmm. I've been playing with fire well before, like, I ever decided to lace up some boots, but I've always been a daredevil and an adrenaline guy. Like, I love skydiving and that kind of stuff. Like, it's always been part of my nature. Like, if it wasn't for Deathmatch Wrestling, I'd be, like, you know, driving really, really fast and getting, you know, in trouble.
Getting tickets and shit,
yeah, which I still get tickets for it. I still drive very fast, so it didn't really help all that much. But that's it kind of, like, I have a lot of chaotic pent-up energy, and this is just the best way of getting that out for me. It's just, I've never felt more creatively fulfilled, so I love it, man.
Does it hurt? I mean, it's gonna hurt, right? Like, how do you feel the pain? Like, does the pain register later, or, like, how do, I mean, because you're getting shit.
I mean, both. I mean, it's kind of like, if you're getting, like, skewers driven into your head or staple gunned or hit in the head with a chair, like, it shit sucks whether, you know, it's gonna happen to you or not, so it's like,
You not feel it at the time and then feel it later?
It's a little bit of both, it depends. Like, sometimes I'll wear out there, like, oh, that was a pretty rough hit or whatever, but, like, you know, it is whatever. Like, my adrenaline's kind of pumping, so it doesn't, like, hurt per se. Yeah. And then you go home and you're like, yeah, that's pretty good. And then you take that shower.
Mm-hmm. Next morning sucks, right?
Yeah, next morning it kind of, like, that's when everything settles in. Yeah. I think it's, like, the post-show shower for me that's kind of like that sobering moment where you're in there and you're, like, looking at the drain and you see blood coming out. And I have long hair and long beard, so it takes forever to, like, rinse the blood out. And my hair's all sticky. It's like I have a bunch of jelly in my hair, so... That part's kind of annoying, but other than that, yeah, I love this shit.
So you're pretty new in as far as working matches. How many matches you in? Like,
this is, yeah, I think this, tonight, it's like my 48th match, 49th. So, so I'm still, you know, on the newer side of things. Mm-hmm. Like, my first year in wrestling, I did like five things. Last year was like my legit start, I would say, where most of my matches were last year. And this is the first time I wrestled consistently was last year. And
you're killing it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Seriously, you're fucking killing it.
Oh, thank you, dude. Yeah, I got... Yeah, it's cool because we were here at ICW, like Pit Fighter tonight, and like I have a bunch of other stuff coming up too, and I'm really just excited about all these kind of things. So I'm excited about this debut, and hopefully, you know, I don't die tonight. If so, then this is the last recording of me. So.
Well, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. We will end on that because how are you going to top that? No shit.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, bud. I'm with IWTV Jerry, home of Jerry's Wrestling Emporium.
Yeah.
According to Just Bust Up.
That's the name that Danny Havoc gave it.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
very
that's,
cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Love that. You're broadcasting Deathmatch Wrestling. You've been here all weekend.
Yeah.
You do how many hundred promotions do we have to right now?
Over 200.
Over 200 promotions. Some are Deathmatch, some are in Australia, some are across the world. What makes this one different?
Glass.
Okay.
Glass is very dangerous.
Okay. For broadcasting.
For broadcasting, for fans, for the wrestlers, everyone involved. It's just very dangerous.
Okay. It's unpredictable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, Bad Luck 13 was like the band to go see because they're going to have light tubes at it. But I wasn't allowed to go. I was like 13. Mm-hmm. So like I couldn't go to stuff like that because it's just so wild to be at those things. Now I'm producing those types of shows. Definitely a lot different than a normal pro wrestling show.
Yet it has tremendous appeal. I don't know the IWTV numbers. I don't want to know them. But would you say this is
probably the most popular?
Okay, I was gonna say yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely
on your service. Yeah,
it draws a lot of viewers. Mm-hmm. A lot of you know, everyone can kind of remember the first time they went to a deathmatch wrestling show. You know.
It's different.
Yeah, it's an experience for sure.
I call it a spectacle.
There was somebody here today said that they invited some people that they work with to come to the show tonight, and it's their first wrestling show. I couldn't imagine this being my first wrestling show.
My girlfriend asked if she'd come, and I said, no, this is not for you.
So many questions I have. Yeah.
Not for you.
But in terms of like producing the shows, a lot of the times, you know, we have to do everything we can to protect ourselves, too. We want to have the best shots we can get. And, you know,
your guys are in there.
Well, Jimmy and Ray are definitely the craziest camera people we have. You know, like they normally somebody would need to wear like. Here. I just wanted to let you guys know. Okay, thanks, Tommy.
I've been Dennis about to
I'm going to stare at Tommy's wiener while we do this.
Okay, I'm keeping this in. I'm fully keeping this in.
But sorry if I get distracted.
That's all good. It's
a lot,
huge.
A lot bigger than I expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Clydesdale over there.
Yeah. Cool. Bigger than M3s. For sure.
Anyways.
But yeah, in that regard of filming the wrestling show, a lot of the time they wear protective equipment because the glass will come flying at you. Makes like sense. We literally have had, I mean, Jimmy could probably tell you better than that, but it's like gusset plates in their hands. Like they just like they're part of the show as much as everybody else. So like they get blood on them or their own blood. You know, like they've been hit with glass and stuff.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for giving me that show.
We're definitely keeping that in.
Yeah, of course.
So.
But you have to wear gear and stuff because it's really dangerous for everyone.
Your,
you know?
Your guys, I mean, it's a hazard.
Yeah. Thank God there's no hazard pay, though.
There's no hazard pay. No hazard pay.
No one's gone to the hospital, thankfully.
But you guys are, I mean, they're in there. They're getting great shots. Absolutely. They're.
If somebody's never seen this before. You got to see some of these shots. Like it's like if this was in 3D, imagine it was in these glass smashing off the cameras and stuff. I had to clean our cameras off. It's just like fluorescent dust all over it all the time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You said you're in the business of telling stories. How do you tell a deathmatch story as opposed to a West Coast Pro story, as opposed to a Beyond story?
I'm going to let this breathe because I'm trying to think about it.
Hey, I'm a journalist.
It's just a different type of escalation that happens in the match. You know, you kind of tell a story through the weapons you're using versus the moves you're doing. Same kind of concept. And if you're really good at deathmatch, the movements that you're doing with the weapons becomes the elegant part of the storytelling.
Very cool, very cool. Let's plug the shit out of IWTV, shall we?
Okay. Let me think. Most important thing to plug about IWTV at this point is that we just got all new apps. I believe that on Apple TV, our app was like almost useless prior to this.
I'm aware.
So now that it seems to be up and running, is that correct?
Working for me. It's working for me. Yep, great to hear. Yep, great absolutely. To hear. Yep.
It feels like
seems like very we personal.
Have a nice swing. Yeah, yeah. The swing is up. Like our subscriptions are up now,
nice.
And it has a lot to do with the app. So if you
if someone's just
any wrestling,
a lot of the audience here is not very familiar with independent wrestling.
Yeah,
tell me. Let's talk about what IWTV provides.
Sure, you get a glimpse into the independent wrestling scene all over the world. We carry partners in over 15 countries.
Nice.
They submit their content to us on a regular basis, and you get to go in and see their most recent shows. It's kind of like, for the wrestling nerd, it's like having the PWI magazine back in the 90s, but now you have the ability to just tap into any wrestling show you ever want, and you can see them all live at the same time, streaming live on IWTV. It's all in your subscription. If you're new to independent wrestling, I check out whatever the featured events are. We usually put them there just because we think that this is the things that we feel people should see first. And then if you want to get a little more deep into it, just hit the promotions section and you can start seeing what's all there.
I spend many of my nights just deep diving.
Archives, you can see old independent wrestling. So you could see like the WWE stars of today and the AEW stars before they got there. And even while they're there now, AEW lets a lot of their talent on shows that we have on the service. So check it all out. I would go check out a live stream. Then you can get involved in the conversation on Twitter. That's a really cool experience, especially in our community. That's pretty big. So,
cool. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank
you. I am barbecuing at my house with Papa Hills and CJ Lawler. I made them some burgers and dogs, so they now owe me a conversation. Hey, CJ. Hey, Papa.
Hey.
CJ, you have done death matches.
I have, sadly.
This show is, I'm just trying to get into the brains of deathmatch wrestlers and why they're doing what they're doing and how your mentality is a little different going into death matches as opposed to more traditional wrestling. How do you get up for a death match as opposed to a more traditional match?
I drink beer so I can bleed really good. I wouldn't even call myself a death match wrestler because I've only done a few. I'm more of a wrestler that does them occasionally. But I think with the market being so oversaturated and so many people that are doing them just for clout and not because they actually love death match. I grew up on death match. And I see so many people doing it just for the Twitter clout or an easy way to get booked, as they probably would view it for certain people that I've seen doing them. I can't really explain what I do to get ready for one or how to even really get in the mindset. It's kind of just I get excited to bleed, you know, because...
Are you a pain junkie?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, the shit sucks. I'm not going to lie. Getting hit with tubes is not fun. Like, and the people that are like, oh, it's not that bad. No, that shit is that bad. The glass is cutting you out of shit. You know, you can't go swimming in a chlorine pool right after. You know what I'm saying? Like,
So, does your adrenaline go while you're doing it and you feel it afterwards?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, like, the first time I got hit with tubes, it felt like getting like a million tiny cuts, and it was actually a really nice feeling. But you know, the next day, like, you feel it, you know, like, I don't understand how some of the guys like John Wayne Murdoch can just do it every week, and like that to me is mind blowing. Like, it's really incredible. You know what I'm saying?
So, do you prefer death matches over regular matches, or I might say regular, traditional, whatever? What do you enjoy more?
You know, honestly, I prefer doing just a hardcore mm-hmm. style more than a death match. Sure. You know, because
fed hardcore.
Yeah, fed hardcore. Because I mean, like I said, the market's so oversaturated now. Like, everywhere is doing death matches. It's gotten to the point to where it's really hard finding really good death matches that aren't from the guys like the John Wayne Murdochs, mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying. For at least for me, I'm not shitting on anybody else that does it. But you know, I'd much rather do fed hardcores or even just traditional matches. Like, I love Memphis. Mm-hmm. Bleeding and brawling, that kind of shit. That's my thing. But you know, like Nathan Mowry, he lives for that shit. You know.
So you said deathmatch is saturated. How do you view good deathmatch as opposed to bad deathmatch?
Deathmatches that build a story. It's not just light tubes for light tubes. Like, light tubes used to be a blow off, right? Like that used to be the big thing that everybody's mm-hmm. waiting for. And then now it's every single match. It's so commonplace, and people are getting cut to shit. People don't know how to swing the tubes correctly. People don't know how to, you know, just to work that style. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to tell a story with it, too. It's not just violence for the sake of violence. Like, that's, you know, I mean, it's cool, but.
So you mentioned, like, swinging tubes correctly and, like, there's, you know, good ways to do it. When you were training, do they, like, teach you, like, hey, this is a way you do this, this is a way you do this, or do you just kind of pick it up as you go?
For me, at least, you pick it up as you go, because I've definitely swung tubes wrong and, you know, swing on too hard and shit, you know. I've definitely fucked up, you know. Like, I never had anybody get on to me, but, you know, you read some of the Facebook comments and shit, and you'll see, sometimes I'll see John Wayne pop in and be like, this guy's a fucking idiot, swinging too hard, and I'll go, oh, shit, I'm fucked up, you know. But no, like, no, I heard that Sabu actually trained a guy on how to take chair shots, and I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, no, that was never a thing in training that I ever learned.
And I'm here with Papa Hales, wrestling fanatic, and both of you guys are going to be on for longer shows. But, Papa, we're fans. Thank the Lord you don't get into the ring. you've been to deathmatch shows. You've been to more traditional. You've been to everything under the sun. How do you as a fan go into deathmatch shows, and what are you looking for as opposed to traditional shows?
Well, I enjoy deathmatch wrestling, but not as a steady diet,
mm-hmm.
because I like all of wrestling. And if deathmatch wrestling is done right, it's some of the most exciting, enjoyable wrestling you could possibly have. I really got into deathmatch wrestling from watching Japanese tapes.
Okay.
From information I got from my son Dylan, and that's when I started to watch this stuff, and I was freaking amazed. And the exploding rings and the insanity of that did catch my attention. Now, when I go to a deathmatch show, I go prepared because I have something to cover my face so I don't get hit with the clouds of dust from the broken tubes. And various other fluids flying from the room. So you have to be prepared. But what singles out the better death matches to me, and I think CJ probably agrees with me on this, is I like to have a death match that tells a story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I like to go to any wrestling match that tells a story. I'm not interested in going to a wrestling match that's just a spot fest. That does nothing for me. I want to see entire story. I want to see the entire story develop and unfold before me. And there are really good death match companies out there. I love ICW, No Holds Barred. Mm-hmm. I love H2O. there are a number of others that as a general rule, do really good job with deathmatch wrestling. But there are some terrible promotions that do deathmatch wrestling. I'm not going to say who they are because they already know it. So, but when I go to a deathmatch show, I actually do have a lot of anticipation. I'm looking forward to it, and the surprise is one of the best elements in deathmatch wrestling because I never truly know what's going to happen. I expect there's probably going to be blood. In fact, I know there is at some point. I expect there's going to be some dangerous things that happen because wrestling is always dangerous, but that element of danger creeps in even at a higher level of deathmatch wrestling. So I do enjoy it. I don't enjoy it 24/7, 365 days a year, but as a part of my diet, I want it, and I enjoy it, and I've learned to really love it in the last couple of years especially.
Fantastic. Thank you guys so much.
See you.